This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Enough about allegations and investigations. These stories will be popping up for years to come, I'm sure. John Keim, of course, covers the Washington Commanders for ESPN at John_Keim. You getting used to Commanders? Writing it?
No, are you? I am not, are you?
No. Not yet. I thought the post poll, though, was very interesting. It was very much presented as sort of a negative finding that, you know, more than half of the respondents don't like the name. I was actually very surprised that 41% said that they liked it. A very small percentage said they loved it. But I thought, it was decent news for the team. You know, if you're looking for polling, this kind of support that there's – put it this way, Twitter's never a good indication of anything in terms of accuracy.
Right.
But even anecdotally, for me anyway, whether it's older people or younger people, I really have yet to find the person that says to me, they love it, John. But I thought that polling was interesting, and I think it was good news for the team. What did you think?
I agree with that. And it's funny because I saw, I think it was Pro Football Talk had a headline like, you know, basically taking it as a negative. And I thought the same thing. If it's about 50-50, that's pretty good for them. I remember I actually ran a Twitter poll, and the one thing with it too is I think it was just DC residents, so I would have been curious to see if it had expanded into like Montgomery and Fairfax and PG areas where you know that's still considered, you know, this football team's territory. But so that's one thing. But the second thing was I ran a Twitter poll after the name was announced, and it was more like, you know, that's of course very informal, and it's, you know, you're talking to a certain niche, a group of people, right? That's they're going to be, but I'd say in that one, it was, do you like it? Do you dislike it? Dislike it was around 28%. The biggest one was, are you warming to it? And plus liking it was more than the dislike. But then the biggest one was, it doesn't matter as long as they win. So, you know, but the point is, and I shared that with somebody over with the team, and they're like, hey, that's not bad. The fact that it wasn't like 60% hate it, right? It was that it was closer to an even breakdown at that point. And I still think at this point, that's pretty good for them considering. And I think a big key with that would tell me that if they start to win in a couple of years, people will be fine with, well, they'll be accepted, I would say. Right. So, you know, but that's the key. It's always the key here, Kevin, is winning. And will they win? I think if you win with this name, then they'll feel better about it. You know, the funny thing is, I would be curious to see what people think of the Wizards name, however many years out. And you know, and if they like it or just, you know, to see if that has changed at all, too. Just, you know, interesting.
Yeah, I think, too, you need almost, and Brendan mentioned this to me because we were talking about it during a break, and you just wonder, again, let me reiterate, the headline, you know, on this story was nearly half of Washingtonians don't like Commander's name.
Right.
And that's sort of how it got labeled, and I was like, whoa, yeah, but 5% love it and 36% like it? That's 41, so it was actually 49-41, and then 11% didn't have an opinion either way. So 49% don't like it. To me, that was much higher in terms of the liking it than I thought it would be. So I think it's a positive for the team. But Brendan said to me, and I think there's some truth to this, you really almost have to know where the passion level of the fan that you are polling is. Because if you're talking to dispassionate people in D.C. about the football team, you know, there's an element of, I like it, whatever.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I think and I think there's a lot more of that than anybody realizes. I mean, it's reflected clearly in the attendance and in the television ratings about how few people care relative to what it used to be. Let's talk some football anyway. Because you wrote a story yesterday about the offseason, sort of breaking it down piece by piece. Let's start with the players that are free agents that were on the roster last year. Who do you think that they are targeting right now to re-sign?
Well, definitely Bobby McCain. J.D. McKissic they want back. Those are two big ones. Cornelius Lucas will be an interesting one just because he may try to look for a place to start. And that's not going to happen here, but, he's been here 2 years and he's played a decent amount and they want the line depth. Brandon Sheriff will be, I'm not expecting him back. I just think he's going to be a tricky one because, I think when you get to free agency for him in his spot, you're probably gone. When you're talking about that kind of money, they haven't really come close to a deal over the last couple of off seasons before this regime and with this regime. And I just wonder at this point for them that it was another year where he could not finish a season and he missed, several games. And how much are you going to pay for that? And if you're not willing to pay a certain amount, is that going to be what it would entice him to stay? So I don't think, I just think that's going to be a hard one. I think he'll probably get a better offer somewhere else. I think it'd be very tough to pay him a certain amount given the injury history. So that would be the toughest one. But I think like McCain, McKissic, those are the guys that.
What about DeAndre Carter? I know that
he'd be another. He'd be another one. He'd be another one too. Yes, because he was very good as a returner, and he helped them as a receiver, as a depth guy. He's not going to be the guy that you want that they're going to have starting, but he helped them. So I think I don't see any reason why you wouldn't want to bring him back unless he somehow finds a better opportunity. So I do think that he'd be a guy that you'd want back.
And so you do believe that they want J.D. McKissic back?
Yes.
Do you think there's a market for McKissic? Because I do.
I think there is. I think there would be because he's very good at what he does. And there are some teams out there that that I think would really like to have a guy like that. I do think that he's a guy that he's a guy that they really want back, and I know that he has talked about wanting to be back here. But as we've seen with some other players, sometimes what you say and what you really think are two different things. And I'm not saying he doesn't think that, we'll see on that one. But he'd be a big loss for them.
Yeah, their list of free agents this year, guys that were most of these guys were just on 1 year deals in particular.
Right.
They're all players. When I looked at this list over the weekend, they're all players that I think you and I both have a sense, and a lot of the fans have a sense. Like the coaching staff, they really like Bobby McCain. We heard it all year. They love McKissic. They really were surprised by DeAndre Carter. They really liked Ricky Seals-Jones. Like he's
another
a free
one, and
agent.
He's another one. Yeah, he's another one. I think the thing with all these guys is they're not big time free agents. And
understood.
Ricky Seals. And so I think like Cam Sims. They like Cam Sims a decent amount, and I could see him staying here too. But he's like they're good depth guys for them, And I think, like, if you're another team...
McCain's a starter.
McCain's a different class. I'm talking about, like, Jones, Cam.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
You know, those kind of guys. Like, Adam Humphries, I think he would be... I think he would wait to see what's the quarterback situation. But he is a good player for them. You know, he can still play and he can still help a team, but is he going to want to come here would he want to stay here depending on who is the quarterback? You know, then you get like John Bosick's a free agent. Now they're going to look to upgrade that position. I think they really like how Bostic thinks the game and approaches the game, but there is that next step of being at a certain level isn't there. And so, you know, I'd be surprised by that one, just because I know that they're going to try and upgrade there, whether it's in the draft or free agency, they're going to try and upgrade there.
I think so, they believe, by the way, on Bostic, John, that had Bostic been healthy this year, that Davis would have played better and that they would have been better defensively. Okay. And I don't think anybody in the fan base agrees with that statement, but I think they believe that.
Oh, they definitely believe that. And I would say this, and the reason is, and it's not because John Bostic's this great, great player. It's because they put guys in, because what he does on that field is allows them to play Cole Holcomb outside and Jamin Davis outside, where they are better suited. And that's why. So you're putting more guys in the right spots, and Bostic is a middle linebacker. Is he a great one? No, nobody would say that. But he's better than what they had there. And what he would do for a guy like Davis is, because Davis was playing too much, he thought too much on the field. And so a guy like Bostic can go in there and tell him this is, you know, he can communicate with him in the huddle pre-snap about what he sees, what he needs to do, where he needs to go. That stuff helps. You can then play a lot more freely. So it's little things like that. Again, it's not because Kevin, David Mayo made a difference in that game against the Eagles, against the run. Not because he's a great player, but because he's more of a middle linebacker and he can play decisively. And so that game to me opened my eyes about what a middle linebacker, a really good middle linebacker, could do for this defense, and the way it allowed Cole Holcomb to play. There were several plays that Cole Holcomb made because of having Mayo in the middle. And so again, not that Mayo's this great player; he's a backup to a backup, but he was more of a middle linebacker, and he knew that spot. So it just shows you get a guy who's really good, it's going to have a bigger impact, I think, than people realize.
We're talking to John Keim, of course, John_Keim on Twitter. Listen to Keim's podcast. He does a great job on that as well. I want to continue through some of the things that you mentioned in your story on ESPN.com. So you had a segment titled Potential Cut Candidates. And this is somebody that I've been thinking about a lot. And you wrote this, and I agree with it. I think they want Landon Collins back, but it's not really feasible, is it, to bring him back at a $16.2 million cap hit next year. So what do you think happens with Landon Collins?
I think they try to work something out and maybe something to lower that cap hit. That's what I would say. Whether it's an extension, restructure, whatever, I think they will work to get something done with that. And then the interesting thing will be is if that doesn't happen, what do they do? Because it is a big cap number. I don't think Landon Collins is going to get that on the open market, and he'll know that. And so I think they'll try to work something out to lower that cap number and try to keep him around.
Do you think Landon Collins wants to be here and play the position that he's playing?
I don't know, but here's the thing. He played it well, so guess what other teams are going to do? They're not going to have him do something different. He is not, when he's just a true – and he wasn't just a linebacker. He was a hybrid. He played both spots. But when he's just as a safety – there are some liabilities there, and he became a really good player when they used him in that role. Now we can all say, why did it take so long to put him in that role, and whether it was because they had to convince him or whatever, or because they just, I know that was something they had talked about in the offseason, so I was a little bit surprised it took him a little bit of time to do that. But the bottom line is he really played well doing it, and he became a dynamic, more dynamic player. in that role. So I think any team is going to put him in that spot. So that's the thing that he'll have to, and, you know, I'm quite sure that a lot of that will be known by him and his team of, you know, representatives before we get to free agency, to know what he should or shouldn't do or could or couldn't do on the market and how teams would see him. So, but yeah, I that's the thing. But that's a good question, because, you know, and sometimes a guy might hear that but not maybe believe it and just say, well, screw it, I'm going to go to the market. I'm going to try and get...
The question stems from just the hysterical conversation at times this year with Rivera, basically.
Great.
I remember at one point I said to him, I guess you'd steer clear of putting LB next to his name in anything that you would write, and he just laughed, and he said, yeah, we don't want to do that. You know, so
and it was also because, you know, like I said, the thing is, when you watch the games, he wasn't just a linebacker, and that's why with him, you know, there was a definite linebacker role, without a doubt. But there were other times where, like, well, that's not where a linebacker plays. So it wasn't, it was a definite hybrid, but it was the taking away full-time safety designation from him that, you know, clearly didn't always sit well with him. Now, he played it. And the thing I think, you know, it's funny because he kind of complained one time about it and some fans jumped on him for it. And, like, the guy's doing his job. He answered honestly about what he thought about the position, but he's doing his job and he's doing it really well. So Whatever he thinks about it, his approach was really good. And, you know, and so, but yes, I mean that, you know, there's no way they would ever call him a full-time linebacker. First of all, he wasn't. But secondly, I think they know how he would respond to that.
Yeah. By the way, one other on kind of the free agent thing. They've, you know, I think I mentioned this to Ben on Friday, maybe. They've got to re-sign Joey Sly. Like, they have to
do that. Oh, he's another one. Yeah. He's another one. Yeah. And that's Yeah. I would be surprised. Yeah.
So we'll get to the quarterback stuff here in a moment. But I have one last non-quarterback question. What do you think the conversations out there about Jamin Davis are? Do you think they believe they made a mistake? Do you believe that they believe that he just played out of position? What do you think the conversations after reviewing the season were about Jamin Davis?
That's a good question. First off, I think because there's multiple layers to that one, obviously. So can he play outside? I think the feeling is yes, he can, because they saw some examples of that. It wasn't like every game was horrible for him. There are things he does well in coverage. And he does, you know, he runs very well. I mean, you know, it's funny because you go back to that Raiders game and he missed like three tackles. And you can't say this because it's like, well, if so-and-so had hit every shot, he'd have had 100 points. Well, he didn't hit his shot. But he was in position to make plays in that game in that role. And he didn't make them. He made a couple, but he didn't make all of them. And so I think, you know, but the point is, like, he was in position to do that, and you have to learn how to make those tackles. It's kind of important. But the point is, again, in position to do that, and I think that's a big thing. So I do think that they feel like he can play outside. But the second question is, where they made the mistake is thinking he could play inside. And how did they come to that conclusion? So I do think that there's some introspection there about, why did we think that this guy could play inside? I think that has been held. That's just a strong guess by me that it would have been held, because even in one of the last press conferences of the season, Rivera even kind of mentioned that, like, you know, about going over and basically analyzing why certain things didn't happen, and is in response to something along the lines of with Jamin at middle linebacker. So that's something you have to go over, because they did miss on that. And
Didn't get their Luke Kuechly.
No.
I
think the other question then, Kevin, becomes to me is, okay, if you thought he was just going to be an outside linebacker, would you have taken him at 19? And I know this, you can't go and play that game, but there are other guys there that if you wanted just an outside linebacker to come right in who may have been better, right? So that's the other question, like if he had been that. But why did you think he could play middle linebacker and what happened that he couldn't? I think you have to examine that hard, because it did lead to a mistake in analysis, because again, they'd hoped he would be that guy and he isn't. And certainly not now. And if he developed, I don't think you develop into that guy down the road. I think he is an outside linebacker. That's where his instincts are. You know, and it's why that if they can find a middle linebacker in the draft, or free agency, they are going to grab them. So, you know, that, so yes, I think that's a definite conversation I'm guessing that they have had, but yeah, you have to have had.
All right. Let's turn our attention to quarterback John Keim joining us. You know, I was getting forwarded and, you know, via text, a lot of different tweets that were coming. I mean, we are in rumor season and entering the height of rumor season. And I think some stuff is going to start happening. But there was one tweet in particular. And the only reason I'm bringing this one up is because this name rings familiar. And I just want to make sure that I'm right about this particular guy. Dan Cilio tweeted out. From the Dan Cilio show.
People listening, don't listen to this guy.
Hold on. Let me just read to you what he tweeted. The Commanders have offered the Houston Texans Chase Young and the 2022 11th pick overall, first-round pick, and 42nd pick, second-round pick, plus a third-round pick in 2023 for quarterback Deshaun Watson. So I don't believe this guy, but isn't this the guy that Bruce Allen was really close with? Or am I thinking of somebody else? Is this the San Diego dude?
No. I think he's based in Miami.
Okay. He is based in Miami.
Yeah. Okay. So no, this guy's wrong. Yeah, this guy's wrong a lot, and I don't understand how someone can be as wrong as he is sometimes and still have people follow him, but he does. So I don't know, but you know.
So Bruce Allen wasn't friends with this guy? That doesn't ring a bell to you?
It doesn't ring a bell to me.
Okay, no worries. Let's move on. So, what are you hearing on the quarterback front?
Well, it depends on which one. And, you know, what we listen, it's, you know, here's the funny part about all the rumors. You hear that sources say Washington's going to be going hard after a quarterback. Yeah, it's the head coach who keeps saying it himself.
we understand that. But yeah, where do you think they are right now in this process?
Well, I think they're waiting to see, like, does Aaron Rodgers really become available? Is Russell Wilson, is there a window at all for him to at least get to have a conversation? And I you know, Rodgers, I think that would be a very tough one. So let's go to Russell Wilson. I think that's still like a, you know, maybe in that 10% range of, well, you never know if you make the right offer. And what if, I think what part of the thinking is, well, what if the Seahawks wanted to get Deshaun Watson? And because then you get a really good quarterback who's younger, you know, 8 years or like seven or eight years younger than Russell Wilson. So now you can keep building, or not building, but now you can keep winning with this guy. That's the opening that they would need. So then Seattle would need some more ammo to go get him. Well, this is how you can end up with a trade. Do they have that? I think that's like the one scenario where you could see, you know, but is that going to happen? I don't know, but Seattle is not inclined to trade him. You hear some different things, like, you know, I mean, you have an older coach who, do you think Pete Carroll wants to go through a rebuild at his age, at 70 years old? You know, but then does the GM, does he recognize that you've got to get a lot more youth and talent on this roster, and how can you do that? So that's one. And then, like, Deshaun Watson, still so much to learn. And then even if he's cleared with this team, while I know they would have interest in him, would they have interest enough to trade for him? You know, you have interest enough to investigate or at least look into certain things and at least debate, like, is this a good look for this franchise? And I'll say this, like, well, yeah, I won't go there, but that, you know, I think that's something you have to look at there. It's not a slam dunk that they would
True. Yeah. I mean, this guy right now, based on the story that came out last night, I mean, we have to wait until April 1st to find out if he's going to be criminally charged, if a grand jury is going to criminally charge him or not.
I remember hearing this back in the fall, like the path for the timeline for this guy is not conducive to getting something done in this off season, because there's still going to be so many court cases. It could go into May, and that makes it tough. So, you know, there's that. And then Derek Carr, well, you know, you keep hearing rumors about an extension, but what I know is nothing has been signed. And what I know and what I've heard a few times is that the owner has never been a huge fan of his, but he's listened to his coaches, you know, and he's listened to John Gruden in the past about this. So, would Josh McDaniels want him? Or what if Josh McDaniels, what if he said, you know what, Jimmy Garoppolo knows my system, I know Jimmy, we don't have to pay him as much, we can trade Derek Carr, get some picks for him, and somehow get Jimmy for less, and now you have a, you know, maybe not the same style, maybe not the same level of quarterback, but is he that far off from Derek Carr? You know, that would be, that's a path to this team getting a Derek Carr, you know, but then it's,
yeah, you're being very logical on all of these. The bottom line is, if you have one, you're probably not going to get rid of them unless you've got another one coming in.
Right.
Deshaun Watson's replacing Russell Wilson, it doesn't make sense why Seattle would move on from Russell Wilson.
That's exactly the point. In every one of these situations, it's like, okay, if people think you're going to move on, then to who? And we did this, you know, like Seattle's not going to want, like they're going to want, if what they have to sell this to the fan base. If you trade Russell Wilson, you've got to have a path to a quarterback, whether it's in the draft, whether it's in, you know, some other way, you've got to have that clear path to another quarterback who can replace him, that the fan base can say, oh, okay, we can accept that. Well, like, you know, you're not going to say, well, just throw in Taylor Heineke and they can have him as the bridge court. No, that's not going to get it done. That's not anything against Taylor Heineke. The teams wouldn't see him that way, but also that's not, you know, you can't do that. Because then it's like, well, then that means you have to draft a guy. And who are you going to draft that you're going to convince the fans that this is a better option than Russell Wilson moving forward? So, yes, that's always a big problem. That's why I always come back to like guys like Jimmy Garoppolo, because we know he's available. That's the guy that we know is going to be traded. And then with him, the whole key is, you know, what's he going to want in terms of money? That's a big key, because I don't think this team is going to break the bank to sign him. And then it's like, what do you give up for him? And, you know, I know they, like, Carolina kind of messed it up by giving up a lot of more than I thought they should for Sam Darnold last year. It was like a second and a four and maybe a six or something like that. But and Garoppolo is a better quarterback, but he's got the injury history, and then you have to sign him to an extension, and that's going to complicate things. So I think it's going to lessen, you know, what that will lessen the value San Francisco gets, but what increases it is that a lot of teams need a quarterback. So, you know, who's willing to offer what for him? I think it's going to be some version of two picks. And maybe the highest I would see is a second. For Garoppolo. And if I'm this team, I don't think I'm offering this year too. I would offer next year too.
I had Gruden on my podcast on whatever day it was, Friday or Saturday. He thinks that there will be enough teams interested that San Francisco will get more. I actually, just real quickly, I know that this is a long shot. Trust me, I'm not predicting this. I started to wonder, he's under contract for 2022. Kyle loves Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, loves him. Yeah. And if they're not sure yet about Trey Lance, and all you're going to get back is, say, a second rounder, I don't know that the door has shut completely on Garoppolo staying in San Francisco. Again, I understand that's a total long shot, but I was just thinking about it from a San Francisco standpoint. Like, why, if you are only going to get, let's say, a second back, I'd keep him.
Well, the word I keep getting out of there is that they're going to trade him.
Oh, no, I hear that, and I read that all the time. But there's a part of me that just thinks, contrarian-wise, it kind of doesn't make sense unless you're going to get a boatload back for him. Look, I got 10 seconds here. Give me just, you know, Carson Wentz. Traded, yes or no, and would Washington be interested?
Yes, they would be, but I think you pair him with a draft pick. So if you trade for Carson Wentz, you're drafting a quarterback. Like, let's say, I think that's when we say, okay, who's a similar style? Is it Malik Willis? So then maybe I think that's where you pair him with a guy like that, because Willis would need somebody to hold the fort down until he's ready. And I think in that situation, you might be able to trade back a little bit in the first round if you wanted to. But I think that's the scenario for a guy like Carson Wentz. I would have my hesitation with him big time, but I think that's I think that's a possible scenario.
I also think trading back and hoping that you end up getting these quarterbacks. I think the whole mindset on these guys is going to change, and we're going to have these guys going higher than anticipated. But we'll see.
That's always the case, and yeah, we know that. And if you trade back, you better like a couple of them and be okay with a couple of them if you do that, because then you risk.
I got to run. You're the best. Thanks, John _Kime. Listen to his podcast too. I want to tell you real quickly that Window Nation's virtual home show extravaganza sale is going on right now. Buy two windows, get two free. No limit, and you don't have to make a down payment, you don't have to make any payments, and you don't have to pay interest for two full years. That means if you've been thinking about windows, call Window Nation now at 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com. First of all, you get a free estimate, so there's no risk. Secondly, you're not going to make a payment until the year 2024, so you're going to have the benefit of new windows for two full years without ever paying a nickel if you choose not to. Why wouldn't you? There's no interest being charged for 2 years. If you've got older windows, you're paying much higher gas and or electric bills in winter and or summer. It depends how old they are, but if your bills are skyrocketing, it's partly because of natural gas prices, but it's also an indication that you need new windows. Window Nation's the best. All they do is windows. They've installed 200,000 windows in the last year alone. 96% of them required no follow-up service. They measure each window three times to ensure proper fit before they enter your home for installation. By the way, if you're wondering about what they're like, they come in, they leave your home even neater than it was before. This is a compliment that I get all the time from people who use Window Nation about how great they are when they come into your home, whether it's for the estimate or for the actual install. Call them at 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com. Buy two, get two free, no limit, no down payment, no payments, pay no interest for two full years. You'll save thousands. Savings you'll only see.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Your home value is way up. You can use that money now to pay off credit cards or remodel your house or both. You got to call my guys at Loan Pronto now. Loan Pronto can convert that home equity into cash in as little as 2 weeks with no cost to you and zero hassle. Lots of people are doing this. There's an example. There's one local couple who called Loan Pronto. They did a Loan Pronto zero cost cash out refi. They got a check for $100,000. They used $50,000 to pay off all their credit cards and a car loan, and they used the other $50,000 to upgrade their master bath and kitchen. They locked in a new APR in the twos and lowered their monthly bills by hundreds of dollars in the process. That's just one example. What are you waiting on? Call Loan Pronto now. Convert your home value into cash. Put that money to good use. Do it now, and you can even skip your next two house payments altogether. Call them at 571-775-1810, 571-775-1810, or go to loanpronto.com. That's 571-775-1810. Loan Pronto is an equal housing lender, NMLS 1661781, subject to lender approval. Not all loans apply. NMLS consumeraccess.org. I want to talk about Carson Wentz here, and I'm going to get to him with Brendan here in a moment. I just have a quick recommendation. Do you get the ACC network? Does everybody get the ACC network or not?
I think they should. Like, I think it's on YouTube TV, so I'm pretty sure I get it.
Okay. the history of the ACC tournament documentary that they are running right now is so good. If you are an ACC basketball fan, Maryland, UVA, I mean, if you're a Virginia Tech person, you don't really have much of a history in the ACC. If you're one of the many, many Duke people that live in town, I'm just telling you, this is for you. This is for me. And I'm very glad that they have not kind of excluded, and it would have been hard to exclude Maryland from the history of the ACC tournament, but it is excellent. It's a recommendation. Brendan, is Indy going to actually trade Carson Wentz? And then, two, what's he worth with this unbelievable albatross of a contract?
I mean, it sounds like he's getting traded, right? Like, every rumor seems... Well, I mean, he wasn't very good last year. And he also hasn't been very good for a while. And they gave up a first-round pick for him, which makes you think that they wouldn't do it. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like they kind of think they're close. They've got a good young core outside of the quarterback. And quarterback's kind of important.
I've turned on Wentz, definitely. I wouldn't want Wentz. I think Wentz makes so many bad plays. And yet, you know, still, relatively speaking, he is young. Here's another situation. You know, this is Frank Reich. This is the guy who was his quarterback's coach in Philadelphia when he was a front runner for the MVP before he got hurt in 2017, right? It was 2017. And then Nick Foles came in and obviously led the Eagles to a Super Bowl win. This was the guy. This is his guy. And they're going to bail on him after a year? Massive red flag, obviously. I mean, if Frank Reich wants to move on from Carson Wentz after trading a first and a third for him last year, and by the way, having all of that money left on their deal, it's going to be some cap hell for them. It's a massive red flag. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever that they would do this, other than they just think he stinks. And boy, you talk about one game having a massive impact. All they had to do, as what were they, a 15-point favorite at Jacksonville in that final game? If they just beat Jacksonville, and they go to the playoffs, you know, they were playing well, you know, there for that one stretch until the final two games. They lost on a walk-off field goal to the Raiders, which put the Raiders into position to make the postseason. And then they lost this inexplicable game at Jacksonville, where, by the way, he was terrible in the game. Terrible. It took sack after sack, had in the game a lost fumble, had an interception, and they got routed by the worst team in the league. And I wonder if they had just made the postseason and played, would they have been in the Raiders spot, probably playing Cincinnati in that first game? I forget what the actual bracket would have looked like if Indy had won. But still, it's like now they're ready to do it again. But by the way, it's also reflective of a team that says, okay, we tried that one. It was expensive, and it will be expensive, but he ain't our guy. He's not the guy that's going to put us in contention, not just to go 9-8 and maybe make the playoffs, but win a Super Bowl. We've seen what those guys look like, and those guys, Carson Wentz is not. And so if the Colts decide to move on after a year, first and third round picks, salary cap hit next year of $28 million for a dead money number. I forget where the dead money. I was reading it earlier. It's gonna cost them a lot, and it's gonna cost the team that trades for him a lot if they take on that contract without the Colts eating some of it. I wouldn't go anywhere near Carson Wentz. Now, I guess there's a little bit of a difference if you haven't had anybody even as good as Carson Wentz, and if you still believe that you're the guy to fix him, but you just had the guy that could fix him in Frank Reich. I used to think Carson Wentz had a really, really massive upside. And this would be an absolute no-go for me. In the same way that I don't really want Jimmy Garoppolo, in the same way that I hope that they don't land on Mitch Trubisky, etc. I want guys with a high ceiling, and if they're getting rid of Wentz, it's because they don't believe in his ceiling anymore. And remember too, Brendan, and I don't know if a lot of this has come up in Indianapolis, apparently he's not the easiest dude in the world to be around. We heard that in a lot of that Philadelphia reporting. I wouldn't go anywhere near this. And by the way, if they can't trade him, would they cut him? If they really don't want him and nobody wants to trade for that contract, would they end up releasing him?
I can't imagine they'd cut him. There'd just be so much dead money.
They want to move on from him.
So if they move on, they have a potential out next year with zero dead cap. Whereas this year they have 34 million in space, and this would eat in 15 million of that.
So it's a $15 million dead cap number?
Yeah. So I can't imagine they'd do that because they don't have a first round pick this year.
Mm-hmm.
So their options are kind of limited on what they can do in the draft. I got to imagine they're going to just eat it this year and just play with him. And then, I mean, the draft next year is so much better for the quarterbacks. Why wouldn't you just play this year out knowing that you have the easy out next year?
Because they think they can contend this year.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. But
I mean, you know, and they're, you know, they're in a division where they think they can contend.
But if they can't get one of the top guys, they're not contending anyway.
You know, the other thing too, Brendan, about this, the AFC. If you're in the AFC right now and you don't think you've got a quarterback that's good enough, you've got to start searching for the answer, because Josh Allen and Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes and Justin Herbert and who knows, maybe Aaron Rodgers are all in the AFC next year. So if you're the Colts, you're sitting there and you're going, we can't compete with this. We just saw what it looked like in the postseason, and we were hopeful that Wentz would be the guy. We gave him a first and a third. My God, the Eagles fleeced Indy. And again, they got him to take that contract too. Wow. I really thought that Frank Reich, because I think Frank Reich is a good coach. I think he's a good coach. So if he's making this decision, it's really hard for anybody to say, well, I believe in Wentz when Frank Reich didn't.
Well, even then, it's like Chris Ballard.
This is not your Cliff Kingsbury situation, which you are adamant that they are a bunch of morons and that you would still, you know, go all in on Kyler Murray. This is Frank Reich with Carson Wentz. He knows him intimately.
I don't think Reich is like the best coach in the league.
I didn't
say
he was the best.
I'm not saying he's like a top tier coach, but he's definitely in the top half of coaches. And Ballard is a pretty good GM. So the mistake was trading for him, obviously. But if they're able to get anything in return from this year, that I think that's a win for them. Because I think
with that contract, that's a tough contract to trade for a guy that, you know, I think most people would be lukewarm on. The issue we've got, the issue that we have many years, but it just seems like we've got more of those this year. You just have a lot of teams that are very desperate. You know, we're one of them, obviously. In the NFC, Carolina is one of them, and New Orleans is one of them. You know, Tampa is, you know, potentially going to be one of them. You know, in the AFC, Indy feels like they've got a team that can win with much better quarterback play. Pittsburgh's obviously desperate for a quarterback. Denver is desperate for a quarterback. And Wentz would probably be viewed by some of these teams as an upgrade. Like, I could see a Carolina being interested in a Carson Wentz. You know,
I don't know, the way Tepper's talked about how important quarterback is, I don't see them going down this route again. They just traded for Sam Darnold last year. Mm-hmm. They're not doing it again.
The issue is, would Washington be interested in Carson Wentz? He does fit the description of what they're looking for. You know, they're looking for a guy that, you know, can make all the throws and is mobile. Carson Wentz can make all the throws and is very mobile. Carson Wentz's decision-making at times is horrendous on a football field. And there are questions about whether or not he is, you know, he's got the intangibles. I mean, he was terrible in a game in which they were a 15-point favorite against Jacksonville. All they needed to do was win the game, and they were in the postseason with, you know, some impressive wins along the way. Like that stretch, that Christmas night game when they beat the Cardinals on the road. And, you know, at the time, I'm not sure we thought the Cardinals were fading as much as they were. You know, that was one of the better games for Wentz. I mean, he threw two touchdowns in the game. Wentz had some decent games this year. But he had some stinkers, too. I personally would be absolutely no on Carson Wentz and that contract, too. You know, the contract is an albatross of a contract. It's a base salary guaranteed of $22 million next year, basically a $28.2 million cap hit for next year for Carson Wentz. And, you know, because of the contract, you're not talking about a first for Carson Wentz. You're talking about, you know, much less compensation. And I guess there is a chance you could wait for him to get released, but I think you're right. Why would you release him? You know, you'd probably just keep him. The cap hit, the dead cap number is $15 million, but the cap hit is $28.2 million. So it's actually a savings for the cost of $13 million to move on from him. All right. You want to take some calls on this one?
Yeah,
on Wentz? We haven't done Wentz. What do you think? We weren't planning on this.
No, let's do it. We got time.
301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Our Valor Home listener lines are open. Yes or no, why or why not on Carson Wentz? And by the way, here's another follow-up question. Do you think he would be an upgrade? I feel like I have to ask that up for a lot of people when it comes to, is he an upgrade over Taylor Heinicke or not? 301-230-0980. It looks like he's available. Are you interested? Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are also on the Odyssey app. The BetMGM Sportsbook at Nats Park is now open with a 4,000-square-foot bar, wall-to-wall video screen, 6 betting windows, and 17 betting kiosks. Nats Park is now the ultimate D.C. destination for sports fans all year round. Discover why BetMGM's the king of sportsbooks and experience every big football, basketball, and hockey game like never before. Winter, spring, summer, fall, the BetMGM Sportsbook is the place to be, located near the center field entrance of Nationals Park. Place all your parlays, props, and futures bets in a comfortable setting that makes every game and every play more exciting than ever. Grab your crew and enjoy great drinks, great food, and all the sports action you can handle every day from 11 a.m. to midnight. Find out for yourself why nothing beats a W at the BetMGM Sportsbook at Nationals Park. You must be 21 or older, D.C. and Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, 1-800-522-4700.
Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
It's about loan pronto and the opportunity that you have if you've been thinking about refinancing. Your home value is way up. You can use that money right now to pay off credit cards or remodel your house or both. Call my guys at Loan Pronto now. Loan Pronto can convert that home equity into cash in as little as 2 weeks with no cost to you and zero hassle. Lots of people are doing it. Here's an example. A couple locally called Loan Pronto. They did a Loan Pronto zero-cost cash-out refi. They got a check for $100,000. They used $50,000 to pay off all their credit cards and a car loan, and they used the other $50,000 to upgrade their master bath and kitchen. They also locked in on a new APR in the twos, lowered their total monthly bills by hundreds of dollars. That's just one example. What are you waiting on? Call Loan Pronto now. Convert your home value into cash. Put that money to good use. Do it now. You can even skip your next two house payments altogether. Call them at 571-775-1810. That's 571-775-1810 or loanpronto.com. 571-775-1810. They're an equal housing lender. NMLS 1661781, subject to lender approval. Not all loans apply. NMLSconsumeraccess.org. Brendan, yes or no for what's the price for Carson Wentz? A third rounder?
Probably like a third rounder and maybe like a fifth rounder.
Okay.
And the price is still no. The only way I'm saying yes is if they send an extra first round pick back. That's the only way.
To take the contract, yeah. Like, by the way, kind of the Rams did for taking the Jared Goff contract back.
Yeah, that's the only way I'm making that happen. It's a no matter what the price is.
Yeah, I'm not. There's too much smoke around Carson Wentz right now. There was smoke around him in Philadelphia, and then that was all chalked up to Frank Reich wasn't there, and then he goes to the team that made the most sense. They take on his contract. They send a first and a third rounder to Philadelphia for him, and they're going to deal him after a year. No, thank you. Do I think he's an upgrade over what they have? Yeah, I do. I think he's an upgrade over what they have, but that's not the goal here for me anyway. If I'm them, I am again going into this swinging big. Carson Wentz is basically trying to sack bunt somebody over from first with the old National League rules without the DH. All right, I see everybody on hold. Stay there, Sam, Ian, Ronnie, RJ, William, Chris, Rick, Sabah. Would you or wouldn't you on Carson Wentz for a third? Just take that into consideration, and then you got to take back his contract. He's a big $28 million cap hit next year. Would you or wouldn't you on Carson Wentz? Yes or no? Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, theteam980.com. That theteam980.com, he says, and we're also on the Odyssey app.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.